see. We left off yesterday. We were almost finished. The inyan of, non-sita type of dash.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about that. Still have to work on peanuts, bananas, a couple of other nuts. Although it is nice outside. Although it is pretty nice outside.
Yeah, okay, whatever. I wrote in grass. So yesterday we were discussing under what circumstances actually taking off peels, shells, etc. is mutter or not based on shin yud tes se'if vav. If we recall, we had a list of cases in which it's mutter to take off shells. First, I don't remember the exact order, but based on the first question, what type of attachment falls under dash? So according to the Taz, it would be mutter to take off shells if it's not glued on, attached to the shell on the inside. It's just rattling around. According to the idea suggested by the Marash and Maharil, it might be mutter to take off shells if it is attached to the shell. We don't hold like any of those clueless. We hold that dash is any type of attachment, any type of enclosure, anytime something is together with something else and you need to break it open or break it apart, that's dash. So in what case is it mutter? So case number one was the actual case of the Gemara. At least according to the Mechaber and Rav Rishonim. It's mutter to be molel with the shinoi, these melilos. And the Ramah says, but it's better to be machmir if you can be machmir. The other kula we saw is on the Magen Avraham, Mishnah Berurah, trying to melamed zchus on people who break the shell, the pod of the kitnios without a shinoi. Said, well, if it's all soft and edible, then it's all one big ochel, and that's not dash. For dash, you have to separate two things with the different halachic haloshems, as we've probably seen from the srita ideas. If it's like ochel and psoles, or mashke and ochel. If it's ochel and ochel, so if you could eat, let's say, snap peas, is that what they're called? You could eat the pod and you could eat the peas. So those, it's okay because, not everyone in the world agrees, but most posts can agree this. Because it's all ochel. What we ended with was the Ramah took it as a davar pashat, that there's a heter to take off the inner shell of the nut. The whole discussion of the Ramah was what about the outer shell of the nut? He took it as a davar pashat that it's mutter to take off the inner shell of the nut. So why is it so pashat to the Ramah that it's mutter to take off the inner shell of the of the nut? There's some other places where it seems that we take as a derech pasha that's mutter to take off certain peels. If you look at the end of Siman Shimchav Aleph, at the end of Siman Shimchav Aleph is really about other Avos Melacha, but at the end, basically also close to this Yerushalmi, the very end, and the Ramah brings down Aser Liklo Shuman Vitzolim Shekolik Vahaniach Avalech Olialter Shari. This is the Yerushalmi says when you chop off the head of the bunch of garlics, that's an Indian of Dash. When you take them out of their peel, that's an inyan borer. So what is the Ramah saying here? It's usher to peel garlic and onions lehaniyah, but it's mutter to peel garlic and onions lealter. Now, so if he says it's usher to peel them lehaniyah, mutter to peel them lealter, then what av malach is he talking about? Borer, right? Borer is mutter lealter. So what the Ramah is basically saying, that's what the Magen Avraham and the Shabur explain. The Ramah is basically saying that when you peel garlic and onions, you have to worry about borer, which means you should only do it la'alter and biyad. Why you're allowed to do it, if you're allowed to do it, so also talk ochel, we'll get to when we get to borer. But he doesn't seem to worry about dash in peeling garlic and onions. There are Ramah's not, he doesn't even bring in dash when it comes to peeling garlic and onions. Seems to take his davar pasha that it's not dash. He doesn't even have a havmin of dash when it comes to cracking the inner shell of the nuts. So why are all these things? Why does he have no havamin of dash when it comes to all these cases? Yes?
I think there were more of those that understood that the case is definitely that the Ramah is having a kula in dash, in which case it would be a big kula in dash.
That is matzah dash la'alter? Yeah. That's going too far. No one's matzah dash la'alter. I mean, you might have seen a slightly different cross section of the Makoros than I've seen. But at least from, you know, what I've seen, no one's matter Dosh L'Alter per se, meaning might depend on other circumstances, but not per se. I don't know, has anyone ever seen anyone who says Dosh is just Stam Mutter L'Alter? Mishmur says it doesn't matter if it's the altar. Right, yeah, that. But I don't know. I mean, there might be a Rishon someplace. You know?
No, I think this one is either one of the first in the Torah. I'll look up.
Okay. So, yeah.
Just very quickly, what are we? What are Malilos for this? And what are. What are Malilos? What exactly does that mean?
What is Malilos? It means the actual wheat, the husk of the wheat that you normally thresh. Meaning the, like, big, like, capsule that the wheat grain is in, that's the malila. And your molila, instead of doing the threshing, you put 1,000 of them on the floor, and you have your ox step on them, and you don't muzzle them, you just roll it in your fingertips, and that's okay, according to the machaber. And the Ramah says, tov lahachmer, if you can.
But he's matir, not with
the but, inner and he says the same thing about the outer green shell of nuts. The machaber would say, just roll it with a shino in your fingertips and break it off. Well, the Ramah would say, well, I'm not so sure about this heter of Malila Bishinoi, so if you can, so since it's better to avoid that and just chop your nuts in half with a big sword and scoop that thing inside.
That's the outer shell, but the inner shell, he's not...
The inner shell, he doesn't talk about at all.
Right, not over there.
What?
In Kuf Chafal.
In?
Shin Chaf Aleph.
The inner shell, the nuts,
I'm saying.
The Ramah doesn't even discuss, right?
Like even walnuts we're talking about.
Yeah. Doesn't even discuss. And in Shin Chaf Aleph, the peel of the garlic and onions, he seems to not even worry about both.
We assume they're the same, that a walnut shell and onion
we'll
shell
would
be
that.
The same?
We'll have to see if they're the
okay.
same.
So,
don't make for a wrap, you're talking about, don't think the certain Shmir Shabbos Kodesh and other Muslim Shabbos Yaakov, they say that if it's
okay, where? Maybe that's what you meant, but let's get to it in an orderly fashion. So the question is, the mystery is, why are there some shells that no one even bothers to think are dosh? Why are some shells just not, people don't worry about dosh? So, what is Rabbi Akiva Eger right here in Simin Shin Chaf Aleph quotes the Prima Gadim, right where we start in Simin Shin Yotes, who says one mahalach, who said that when you have a small shell that's a thin shell that's mechuber very strongly to the fruit, that's not a chash of dash. A thin shell that's on the fruit is butel to the fruit. Dosh is only like the big capsule, the husk or whatever it's called, that the wheat is in. That's a separate entity. But when you have like a peel of garlic, that's just a peel on the garlic, it's bottled to the garlic. And you have the peel of the onion, that's just a peel of the onion, that's just bottled to the onion. Likewise, when you have the inner peel, which is on a wheat kernel, like after you take it out of the husk, there's a little peel, that's bottled to the wheat kernel. These things, these small peels that are right... Small peels that are tightly enclosing the food are bottled to the food. That's what the Prima Gadim says. So the Prima Gadim says a small tight peel is bottles the food, so it doesn't count as anything. That's why it's not dosh. So you know, in your onions, everyone knows the onions just have a little like peel on top that's right in the onion. That's not anything. That's just part of the onion. Likewise, the garlic, you have a little thing, and you peel the thing with garlic, that doesn't count for anything. That's the Prima Gadim's approach. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav has a slightly different approach. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav claims that whenever there's two peels, only the outer peel, or three, I guess, counts as dosh. Dosh, by definition, only means the outermost peel. Inner peels are just mufka from dosh. Dosh means the thing that you see with your eyes when it's growing in the field. Taking that off is dosh. But if there's something which is hidden inside that, that's another layer, that's mufka from dosh. That's the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. The Eglei Tal, however, most people seem to take the derech of the Eglei Tal. I don't know who said it before the Eglei Tal. But the Eglei Tal has a new approach to this. The Eglei Tal says that by definition, dosh is, well, there's actually slightly different ways of seeing this. The Eglei Tal says that any peel, which you usually take off, has nothing to do with physically what it looks like or where it is. Any peel which you usually take off at the time of eating is mutter to take off at the time of eating. And here, doesn't mutter alter, but not that doesn't mutter alter, is that a peel which you usually take off at the time of eating, you're allowed to take off at the time of eating. That's the mahalach of the egli tal. This egli tal, the nafkamina between the other explanations and the egli tal, are for peanuts. Are you allowed to crack peanuts? Right now, with peanuts, they have two peels. Right, there's the pod, the brown pod, and then there's the reddish papery peel. So, according to the Prima Gaudin, there's a heter to take off a small peel that's attached straight on to the object, to the food. So it would be mutter to take off the reddish peel, but it would be usher to break the brown shell of the peanut. According to the Shulchan Aruch Rav, it would be mutter to take off that reddish papery peel, because that's the inside peel, but it's usher to break off that brown pod, because that's the outermost shell. Remember, peanuts are not nuts. Nuts grow on trees and have this green shell, green fruit around them. Peanuts are plants, they grow in the ground, they're kidneys, that's why they're kidneys. And that's the pod, the brown thing, the peanut, is just like the pod of the peas. That's the pod that holds the kidneys. So it should be usher to eat peanuts on Shabbos. I mean, not to eat them, but it should be usher to break them on Shabbos. So according to the, if you take the explanation of the Prima Gaudin, if you take the explanation of the Shulchan Aruch Rav, then it's mutter to break the shells of the other nuts, maybe pistachio nuts, but it's usher to break the peanuts. However, and the Rav Bosner in his Shut Shevet Halevi, actually, Paskin this way, he says, really, he says, the Minhag Olam is to break the peanuts on Shabbos. He says, look, I'm not here to call everyone a Mechal Shabbos, but in my opinion, Manias Daiti, I think that you should Paskin like the Prima Gaudin's reason, I don't hold from this egg lay tile, so I think it should be also to break peanuts on Shabbos. He says, it's an inyan to not break peanuts on Shabbos, even though he doesn't actually go and say it's Mamish Usher, because he doesn't want to fight the Minhag Olam. But, in his intellectual opinion, it's usher. However, according to the Egli Tal's reason, that anything which you normally take off as you eat it is mutter to take off as you eat it. So then we understand why the Minhag Olam is to eat peanuts, to break open the peanuts on Shabbos, because the derech of eating peanuts, that you know, the right way to eat peanuts is you buy the bag of peanuts in the pods, and you break the pods, and you eat them on the spot. That's the normal way to eat peanuts. So that explains the Minhag Olam for eating peanuts on Shabbos.
How does this affect it by people who generally buy peanuts shelled?
Yeah, so this is a little tricky. Is it still mutter to eat peanuts on Shabbos nowadays when we've gotten every generation we get more and more lazy nowadays. So nowadays we don't like to actually have to do anything when we eat food because that would be work. So nowadays if a lot of people, I don't know, I mean, if a lot of people buy shelled peanuts, then maybe that should change the... You know, the modern day person will say it's mutter to eat peanuts on Shabbos. No one says the halacha has changed. But I asked Rabbi Miller about this. He says, no, everyone still buys peanuts in the shells. In Eretz Yisrael, at least. He doesn't know what people do in America. So it could be that if it became the derech, that everyone bought peanuts without shells, which is what he quotes in the Shevet HaLevi, that's not exactly what the Shevet HaLevi says in the footnote of the Piskei Tshuvos. I don't think that's what the Shevet HaLevi meant. I think he was saying, quoting something from another indirect context. Okay, Yilayin Shem, see, I don't think that's what he was saying. But it's efshar that if you look around and you see everyone buys peanuts without shells, so shelling is really part of the agricultural, they don't do it in the fields, they do it in the factories, okay. It's part of the factory, the processing, the work of producing peanuts, and it's not really part of just eating them, then maybe it should change the halacha. But I don't know, I mean, I haven't really done enough research to know how most peanuts are sold. I'm not exactly sure how to measure. Do you go by row?
Is there a shelling to change the agricultural process? It's a new process which they've added. It's not part of the agricultural.
But it's part of the processing, not part of the consuming. I mean, the chilek is lav davka whether you're in the field or not. There's a difference between producing a product and consuming the product. And I think that's where to draw the line. And so I don't know what people do now. Gari Nim, for example. You know, I think it's very clear that the normal way to eat Gari Nim is you have to lefatzeach them. That's considered, in this country, certainly, that there's a pride to that part of the eating process.
Those Sheldon there also.
Yeah, it's not as...
Yeah, I'm not sure. Anyway, this is all an interesting... this is all a bit of a tarty. And let me just point out, I haven't seen anyone make a big deal of this. But the egg lay towel is picked up by a lot of the modern day postgame, not from the egg lay towel, but from the Chai Adam. Now, I have no idea what the Chai Adam means. The Chai Adam says that it's mutter to, just agav, let me point out that as far as the peanuts, the Shulchan Aruch Rav himself talked to Mamish about the peanuts and said they were usher. It's not just according to his Shita. He was like very upset about these peanuts. And the egg lay towel came to explain why it's really okay to eat peanuts. I mean, they were talking about peanuts in their days. The Chavos Yaakov and Moshe Feinstein don't quote the egg lay towel on this. They quote this from the Shmir Shabbos Kachos, quotes from the egg lay towel. He also quotes the Kachos of Shabbos. It's very difficult to accept. But the main poskim, the Chalkos Yaakov and the Rav Moshe, the Igros Moshe, I don't know if I wrote where that was. Yeah, I wrote the Chalkos Yaakov, the Igros Moshe is, not sure I didn't write it down. Okay, so a quote from the Chai Adam. The Chai Adam has a strange lush, and he says, like, it's only usur to take off shells that the Derech to do Disha. That's not the Derech to do Disha. And they understand that he's trying to say the same thing as the Eglay Tal. It's only us to take off shells. The Halos Dish is only Shayech when you're taking off shells that are the Derech to do them as part of the processing commercially. Not to take off shells that are done by an individual when he eats them. There's one very, I think, very crucial difference between both the Halacha and the Lamdas, between the formulation of the Eglay Tal. If we assume the Minig Olam is very clear, all the modern-day poskim accept this derech of the egg lay towel and the chai adam, if we assume that's what he meant. I mean, he just says whether it's the derech to judisha. It's a very vague formulation, but they understand he's trying to say the same thing as the egg lay towel. All the poskim accept this. They all say it's mutter to eat peanuts. Even Reb Wasner says, intellectually, I like the other pshatim better, but I'm not going to answer it because the minhag olam is poskim a different way, and I respect that minhag olam. I'm not trying to pick a fight with anybody, he says. So there's a very fundamental distinction in the way the egg lay towel says it and the way the Rav Moshe and Rav Reish interpret the Chai Adam is saying it. The egg lay towel says it's only mutter if it's the derech to take it off when you eat it, and you are going to eat it soon. It's la'alter. But if you would shell peanuts to use in 8 hours, you'd be chayav chatos. So he said the heter is based on the fact it's normally done to eat la'alter, and you're doing it la'alter. So modern poskim don't mention that. I think even a lot of the modern halacha books don't mention that it depends if you're eating it la'alter or not. I think there are two very different ideas about what this heter is. For the egg lay towel, it's not that disha's not shayach to certain kinds of shells. It's like by boware, just like by boware, if you're doing something to eat la'alter, and it's the kind of thing that's not very malachadik, we say that's part of your eating, not part of your boreh, it's not melech machsheves, and we say it's mutter. So too by disha, if you're doing it to eat le'alter, and it's something which is normally done as part of the eating process, then it's part of your eating process, not melech machsheves, it's mutter. But the way Rav Moshe and the poskim quote from the Chai Adam, it doesn't matter whether you're doing le'alter or not. It's just that a shell that's not taken off in a factory is muska from the getter of disha. The getter of disha me'ikara only meant taking things out of shells which are removed in fields and factories. So I think that's big enough from the halacha. The way the modern day poskim quote from the Chai Adam, it just dash only applies to shells removed by professionals, not shells removed by individuals, and it's mufka from dash. I could sit here all day and crack peanuts for no reason. The heter gomer. According to the egg lay towel, really, it is bechlal dash. So just like by borer, some things are borer, but they're mutter anyway if you do them in a very achilotic way. So too here, it is part of dash, but it's mutter anyway if you do a la'alter and it's something normally done la'alter. Because that makes it part of your achilas mafkiya, the getter melech machsheves. So I think that the very important, totally different lumdus where they're approaching it from, is just not in the getter, or is it a heter of derech achila? And also, big nafkamina, are you allowed to crack peanuts? Or any of these other things? Are you allowed to crack any of these shells? Shalola alter. Not to eat it, not la alter. Which the Rav Moshe, the modern poskim, sound like you're allowed to, and the Eglah Tal would say you're not chatz. So that's a big nafkamina between the formulations. You're saying doesn't everyone admit you need la? Right. You're saying doesn't everyone admit you need la alter because of borer? If you assume that borer applies here, which most people that you said right, and even Rav Moshe would say. Even Rav Moshe. Okay, but what I would say, you're right. So even Rav Moshe would say you still can't crack peanuts all day because it's borer. The only nafkamina would be, and of course this is silly nafkamina lemaisa. I mean, not common. What if you wanted to crack the peanuts, but then just crack it and drop it all into a big bin where all the shells and nuts would be mixed and you wouldn't have accomplished any borer? Not crack them and take out the peanuts. Crack them and leave them jumbled. Then there's no borer, only dush. Right, if I crack all the peanuts, but as I'm cracking, I just drop them into a big bucket which is full of pods and shells and peanuts all mixed together, I haven't done any borer, I've only done dush. So in that case, it would be enough kamina, but again, that's not something that people are likely to do every day.
What it sounds like is that Rav Moshe knew about borer. It sounds like he must have only been dealing with one aspect. Understanding that, of course, you're going to go looking at the questions of borer.
Okay, so you're right. Lamaisa and Nafkamina would only be in this weird case.
Not written it just because of that.
But nonetheless, he still has a sheet of, that's still a sheet of Aydash. Meaning, his sheet of Aydash still is that it's mukta from Dash, regardless of when you do it, even though practically, in normal cases, you would only want to do it la'alter to avoid borer. You know, I'm not willing to say that he, you know, and that he misinterpreted the Chayi Adam to make it sound like he had a different sheet than Dush than he did just because he was relying on Borer. That would be going too far. So, but you're right, the Nafkaminas are not as obvious as one might think.
This seems ever different person to person. Like what Phil is asking, like if there's one person.
No, I think it's a matter of the society. I think it's a matter of the society. Now, this also explains a lot of other things. This explains why can you take grapes off of the cluster on Shabbos. So again, if you all like the Prima Gadim and Simit Shin Lamed Vav, that's because anything not enclosed is not Borer. That's not so pashut to hold like that. Right? Maybe anything attached is Borer. The answer is you can take the grapes off the clusters because that's something people normally do as part of consumers in their household. That's what consumers normally do in their household. And it's within the heter of the Eglei Tal and the Chayot. So that's the Lamaisa, that's really where it's drawn the line. Is it something normally done by people when they eat, or is it something normally done as part of work to prepare food? Now it's F shirt. That's, I think, about all we have to say about actual peeling, unless anyone has questions. Zev.
Is there a fundamental difference between a soft peel, which is an edible, and a hard shell? I mean, like an orange peel and a peanut shell, is there a big difference?
I mean, an orange peel, is there a fundamental difference between an edible peel and an inedible peel, you're saying?
An orange peel.
Between soft and hard?
Yeah.
Not. Because why can you take off an orange peel? So the Prima Gadim would say because it's relatively small and attached to the orange, so it's bottled to the orange. And the Eglei Tal would say because everyone, and most folks can say, because everyone takes off orange peels when they eat oranges. They don't take them off in factories when they're working, when they're processing food.
Is there enough arena possibly between different types of oranges? Some oranges, or Israeli oranges are like thinner peels.
No, they're still.
Whereas the sun-kissed oranges are like.
I think the Prima Gadim would. I mean, it's hard to say. I can't speak for the Prima Gadim, but I'd be noted to say that he'd be liberal in his application of this halacha. Meaning, as opposed to. I mean, and it's all might be relative to the size of the orange. I don't know. I mean, I can't speak for him. The poskim don't assume like him. So it's hard to say. Okay, so much for peeling. Now, but that's why we peel bananas, we peel oranges, the chuli, the chuli, the chuli.
What about pistachio nuts?
Pistachio nuts of Adar, right? Those
then
are
the... Tell.
What? According to, yeah. Even according to Prima Gadim, the moment of Prima Gadim, the Shulchan Aruch Rav would have a problem with the pistachio nuts because there is an inside. Is there an inside peel on pistachio nuts? No.
No.
Is there?
I don't think so.
There is.
That thing, the paper also?
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm not sure what the Shulchan Aruch Rav would say. on what would the Prima Gadim say? It's still, it's a relatively small peel, and it is pretty close on the knot, at least after the torso. I've never seen it before the torso, so I'm not sure.
Can you even also make a life stash just because they're open?
It doesn't make a difference if they're open, if the opening's not big enough for it to get through, right? Yeah. Right, and that's Samuel's possession. That's kind of right. They're open, but you can't actually get the nut out of that opening. So is that a tzad lahakel? If it's not enclosed, it's not sure. Misfara, I wouldn't think so offhand, because it's still enclosed. What's the difference if I'm in a jail and I can't fit through the bars? Then what's an afkamina? But I'm not sure. Sorry to you. In any case, the pistachio nuts are wrong. There's like the egg lay talach hayadim, etc. So all pistachio nuts are mutter because everyone cracks them when they eat them.
And do they grow that way, the pistachio nuts open, or do they grow closed and only open after
I don't think they grow open. I think they're opened as part of the in the factory opens them.
Right. That doesn't make a difference.
I'm not sure. I mean, it might be, you might have to go to the sugya and duff your test of like, what if you have grapes that were partially squished? Is it still slita to take out the wine? Where do you draw the line? But my intuition is that the discussion there was only if it started coming out and it's going to come out anyway, then it could be a fear together of slita. But if it's not going to come out anyway, I don't know that a partial opening would help. Yeah, but can't prove that. Okay, now we're ready for slita. Simen Shincha is all about slita, although it gets onto some different things. The beginning of Simen Shincha starts with two issues. A, that you're not allowed to do slita, or when you're allowed to do slita. And B, the gzera of mashkin shazavu, that besides not being allowed to do slita, even if the juices came out of fruits by themselves, it's still usher to drink those juices. So let's start with the actual issue of whether or not it's mutter to do slita. So the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch, based on the Gemara, gives us three categories of fruits. How do you know there are three categories of fruits? Because number one, this is Machlokas Amaran, the beginning of Parakhamis, we have Machlokas from Yehuda and the Chachamim about juices that seeped out of fruits which were intended to be eaten. And the Gemara says, well, everyone admits that it's Aser and Zeisan Anabim. Everyone admits it's Mutter and other Peros. The Machlokas is in between two to three motions. So we see there are three levels of fruit. L'inyan, the Gzera, Mashkin, Shazavu. We also see there are three levels of fruit in the slita itself, because shar peros are mutter to be sofeh. That's the Gemara at the bottom, daf kuf min hayam and aleph. It's not so clear that everyone agrees to that, but we do. Tutim v'rimonim are usher to be sofeh. That's half of kuf min dalav beis. Shar peros are mutter to be sochet, the top of kufim dalam and beis, pagam, uzur din, and prishin is mutter to be sochet. St. Bryce says, tutim rimonim are also to be sochet. And zeisav anavim, your chayav katas, also do rice to be sochet. As the Gemara says, that there's only chayav katas for zeisav anavim belvad. So there are three levels, the isur d'oraisa of zeisav anavim, isur d'rabbanan of tutim rimonim, and the heter of shar peros. So what's the logic behind this? So only Zeisav Anavim are Chayiv Midoraisa. No other fruit you're Chayiv Midoraisa for squeezing, only Zeisav Anavim. Why? What's unique about Zeisav Anavim? They're the only ones, that's what Mar says. Bottom Kuf Ham and Aleph. Right? Ein o Chayiv, Dvar Torah no Chayiv Aladrisa Zeisav Anavim Bilvad. So what's the logic of that? Anyone? But they're grown, that's the normal thing to do with them. That's the derech, done with them, that's what Rashi says there, that it's orche, the Tosfot also says. These are things that are normally, and I think normally means not just normally meaning you're still a normal person, you're not crazy, but normally meaning, like ma'isim kol yom, this is the regular main thing to do with these things, is to squeeze them, as opposed to all the other fruits, which some people squeeze them, but that's not the usual thing to do. I'd say usual instead of normal.
Does that mean, are you defining it as the grapes, the main function of grapes for the wine?
I'm saying the usual thing to do with grapes is to squeeze them into wine, and the usual thing to do with olives is to squeeze them into oil. That's what Rashi seems to say with Tosfos Rib says. Right, Rashi's Lashon is, Aval Shar Drichos Labor Chayu B'Hafim. The other things are not the Derech, this is the Derech. What's interesting is that according to that, then b'zman hazeh oranges should also be also d'oraisa to squeeze. Right? That's the normal derech. I mean, maybe a lot of things. Apples, very normal to squeeze them, and you have to know where to draw the line. Maybe grapefruits, but certainly oranges, you'd think, should be also d'oraisa to squeeze on Shabbos. Ravadi has all tshuva about this. He passes. There are apparently a lot of gedolim in Egypt who used to squeeze orange juice on Shabbos l'chachila. He had a lot of trouble accepting that. He says, no, it's bad. It's also drabbon to squeeze orange juice on Shabbos. But if you take the pshat of the sugya, zeisim anavim are just normal, are usual. Orange is also usual, so it should be also rice to squeeze orange on Shabbos. However, the poskim all seem to assume not that way. The poskim all seem to assume that zeisim anavim is some magic, only zeisim anavim, not anything else. And in all the discussion now in the postgame, no one has the chutzpah to say oranges are also d'oraisa to squeeze on Shabbos. They assume it's pashut zeisim anavim. So why should it be just zeisim anavim and not actually depend on what's done in society? So in the Prima Gadim, at the very beginning of Semen Shin Chaf, he quotes from Aran, but of course he adds in his own parentheses the magic words that actually say the Shita. He says, we see from the Aran, the zeisim anavim havi mashkin, masha inke meperos lav mashkin hava. That Zeis Vanam is really a mashke, not the other Meperos, and why? So he adds, the Prima Gadim adds, Mizayin Mashkin. Right? The Ram didn't say that. The Ram might have just meant, since it's normal to make them, they're Mashkin. But the Prima Gadim adds, Mizayin Mashkin. That's in the, if you have the Ba here, it's in the beginning of Simen Shin Chaf. It's the first words in parentheses in Simen Shin Chaf, Mizayin Mashkin. Meaning we all know there's Zayin Mashkin, and the only ones that come from fruits are shemen and yayin of the yad shachadam. So that's why he says, really, to be schita, you have to get something out of something else with two different kalos shemes, like a mashkin out of an ochel. So everyone knows, obviously, grapes and olives are ochel, and one is Zayin Mashkin, Yayin and Shemen are Mashkin. As also all other fruit juices, even if there might be a billion people squeezing oranges for juice, orange juice is not a halachic mashke, because the Prima Gadim chooses to define a halachic mashke as one of the Shiva Mashkin. And therefore, it's not a halachic mashke, it's just like, oh, you're getting out some byproduct of the ochel. That's not real slita. So even though this Prima Gadim is a bit of a chiddush, but it seems to me that halacha follows this Prima Gadim, even though it seems to be against Rashi and the Tosfos Rid. The halacha follows the Prima Gadim. The Achronim understood that since the poskim, so many Rishonim and Achronim just wrote Zeisiv Anavim Archayim, and everything else is not Asur Midoraisa, they must have meant Dafka Zeisiv Anavim, and the explanation must be because Zeisiv Anavim are the juice that comes out as one of the Shiva Mashkim, it's really a Mashke. Anything else is Midoraisa, not a real Mashke. And that seems to be how we pass them. We'll see there are certain nafkaminas that were machmer by d'oraisa and mekel by d'rabbanans. We'd only have to be machmer by olives and grapes, and we could be mekel by oranges, because that's still only d'rabbanan, because that's not one of the Zayin Mashkin. Yes?
According to Rashi, we assume that Zayin and Banavim are, their main purpose is for Mashkin as opposed to eating, or even though they're used to eating also, we generally use.
The way I would translate Rashi to English is, it's usual to squeeze them into mashkin.
Glav
davka, that's the main purpose. I know for Hilchos Brachos, you get into a lot of shaylos. I mean, right, what do you make eitz or shakal and orange juice for that shayla? You get into question the main purpose. But here, I don't think Rashi's going there. I don't think Rashi's going there. In any case, all the poskim seem to assume like the Prima Gadim, even though Misvara, I would not have said so. That's one category, Zeisim Anavim. Out of the other categories, we know tutim for imonim are usher midrabbanan to squeeze, while shar peros are mutter. So what's the difference? Why are tutim for imonim worse than shar peros? So this is all due to our good friends of the house of Menashe on the top of daf kuf mem dalet amud beis. In the base Menashe, Bar Menachem, they would make pomegranate juice, and the stoma, they or some other base would make mulberry juice out of tutim. So therefore, the principle seems to be tutim rimonim, which some people juice, are asur midrabbanan. Shar peros, which no one juices, are heter gomer. Right? And what is it, like, for example, a watermelon? If I decided to squeeze a watermelon, make watermelon juice, that would be heter gomer, because no one squeezes watermelons. If I decide to make, they tell me nowadays, it's cool to say palm juice, then pomegranate juice, that would be asur midrabbanan, because some people make pomegranate juice. Now, this gets into the sugya of kufim dalim and beis, which is a very difficult sugya because it's not exactly clear what the resolution is. The Gemara says, the Braisa says, that it's usur, let's assume you're a bonnet, to squeeze tutim rimonim, because beis menashe used to squeeze them. So the Gemara asks, but that doesn't make any sense. The fact that some minority of people squeeze them shouldn't change the halacha for everyone. That shouldn't make it chashav, a mashke, a schita for everyone. The butler died into galadim. It's just a few people. So the Gemara asks, they have a whole shakal of tarya, and they have two ways of they have two ways of trying to explain the logic of why we should ask for it because of Beis Menashe. One was based on Rabbi Eliezer of Mekayim, Kotzim, Bekerim. Right, it's only Kliyim if you actually grow a normal product, like a product that's grown for business agricultural purposes in Bekerim. If you just have useless weeds in Bekerim, that's not a problem. So Rabbi Eliezer says, if you grow thorns in your kerem, that's klayim, because in Arabia they grow thorns on purpose and it's considered a real agricultural product. So just like everyone's also have thorns because of Arabia, so too everyone's also to squeeze pomegranates because of Beis Menashe. And the Gemara rejects this. They say, right? That Arabia is a country, Beis Menashe isn't. Right? To use the Gemara's Lashon, Asra. Right? They say, even though you're right, Rabbi Eliezer holds that a minority of the world can change the halacha, make a new halacha geder for the rest of the world, that's only if they're a country. But no one said that individuals in the world can change the halacha gedarim for the whole world. So then they try to have another approach based on Rav Chista. Chista himself is ambiguous. But the idea of Rav Chista, they go with Rav Chista, because they think Rav Chista perhaps said, "Kaven da achshavinu havalei mashke." Kaven da achshavinu havalei mashke. This is also unclear. Sort of unclear if we really have an explanation for the halacha by the end of the sugya. Because again, their question is, Beis Menashe only minorities. They say, oh, Rabbi Eliezer says a minority can change the rule of the whole world, but that's only a country that's a minority of the UN. No one said some people can change the rules of the whole world. Say, oh, it's like Rav Chista. Rav Chista says, anything you are machshir enough to squeeze is considered a mashke, purely subjectively. That's why you can't squeeze pomegranates, because if you squeeze them, subjectively it's a mashke. But the Gemara was unclear. That's exactly now she's kasha, right? We'll get to that in a second. So the Gemara says, right, the Rav Chista didn't necessarily hold this, because that depends on a machlokas and hilchos mikvos. All he said is that if you squeeze beet juice into a mikvah, it's pasul, which we first thought shows that if you squeeze it, it's a mashke, because you're a mashke of it. Says no, maybe he just holds that even non-mashkin pasul a mikvah, that anything but water pasul is a mikvah. That's mikvah shayla. Do mashkin pasul a mikvah or non-water is pasul a mikvah?
I just don't understand, what's the reason why it has to be a
mashkin
or
to be chayit? What's the reason why it has to be, not only be chayit, even to be also drabon, it has to be a mashke. Because, and this is a yisod, which you can't forget, the dosh is not, again, if I take the challah and I take all the white out and leave the crust, that's not dosh, even though I took the inside out from the outside shell where it was enclosed and attached and v'chuli v'chuli, because it's all ochel, it's ochlo de ifras, it's just food that broke. If there's something that's all the same challah shem and I take the inside out of the outside, it's like cutting one thing in half. It's not dosh to cut something in half that all has the same halachic shem, the same halachic status. It's only dosh to take something with one halachic status off of or out of something with a different halachic status. Like the actual dosh, which is done with wheat, you take wheat, which is a halachic shem ochel, out of the husk, which is a halachic shem psoles. Ochel and psoles is a halachic status. But in these cases, it's not what he means. They're all good to eat. The fruits are good and the juices are good. So it's only going to be dush if you take something with the halachic status of mashke out of something with the halachic status of ochel. But how do we know what has a halachic status of mashke? So mida oraisa, the Prima Gadim tells us only wine and oil have the halachic status of mashke. I mean, and obviously water. Midrabanan, we give the halachic status of mashke to anything which has the chashivas of a mashke. But what does it mean, chashivas of mashke? A mashke means a drink. Right, again, if I were to squeeze, just think about it, it's logical. If I were to decide to squeeze watermelon juice, I squeezed my watermelon, I got some disgusting whatever liquid, I don't know what it would be like, and I decided to set up a stand and sell watermelon juice. It's not really a mashke. I'm just a fool who takes an ochel and liquefies it and thinks that's called a mashke. A mashke is something which is intended in society, supposed to be drunk, supposed to be a drink in the eyes of society, or in the eyes of the halacha, or in the eyes of someone. Just because I liquefy an ochel doesn't make it a mashke. It's mashke, just like all chaloshem, certainly helpful stone of Atara. We know chaloshems don't depend on the physical tzura of things. They depend mainly on the yi'ud, on the destiny, on the purpose of things, right? The difference between a kli and a non-kli is more purpose, although sometimes tzura as well. There's an ochel and mashke. So therefore, something that is a chashivas of a mashke, it's a drink, not just a byproduct of a food, that would be dush, because I'm taking a mashke from an ochel. But if what I'm taking out has no chashivas of mashke, then all it is an inferior, ruined form of the ochel. If I take out an inferior form of ochel from an ochel, that's just ochel from ochel. It's called ochel de ifras, food that broke apart. Food that broke apart is not any halachic inyan of dash, it's also not nola.
Look at coconut juice. There are places, like in India or other places, that they only, that they'll put a straw and they'll make a hole in a straw just for the juice. Maybe afterwards you could eat the...
So that coconut juice would be, according to the Vipassana, would be also be drabanan to not to put the straw in, but to make the hole. Once the hole is there, it's mostly to put the straw in because it's already out. I mean, who cares? All you have to do is turn it upside down. But making that hole in the coconut within a konami would be an iser d'oraisa because you're getting a mashke out of an ochel, because that would be like base menashe. They consider it a mashke.
D'oraisa
or d'rabanan? D'rabanan, because we all like the Prima Gadim, anything but
so
oil.
The making of the hole is the iser skita.
Lich ora. I mean, it's not skita. See, the funny thing is that's not skita, that's mamish dosh. Because it's not actually absorbed in it, it's actually just enclosed in it. So that's actually, even though it's a liquid, it's dash not srita, but nonetheless, the logic is the same. It's funny. It's like the one rare case where you're getting a liquid out of a solid, but you're not being silicate. Because you don't squeeze it. Squeezing the coconut, I don't think helps. It's just like rattling around in there. You have to just open up the husk. Okay, but lechora, that would be dash. Lechora. Now, let's get back to this for a second. So the Gemara is sort of stuck. We're not really sure. It's an ambiguous Gemara, because at the end of the day, we're not sure why it's usher to squeeze pomegranates, because they're not a whole country. And it's not so clear that Rav Chisda meant that whatever you are machshiv is automatically a mashke.
What's the between Rav Chisda and Rabbi Eliezer?
Because Rabbi Eliezer was talking about a whole country. Rav Chisda was talking about every individual.
So an individual can... Why don't we say bottle of diet or eto kolod? Then why don't we?
Because apparently Rav Chisda is machadish that we don't. Rav Chisda is machadish. That's the chiddush of what Rav Chisda might or might not mean, right? So we're not sure if Rav Chisda means that or not, because Rav Papa comes and says he never meant that. But if Rav Chisda meant it, he made a big chiddush, which that's what the Magen Avraham and the Rishon will work off of. That we don't say bottle of diet or eto kolod here. We say no, you're machshivet. Now, how do we know when to say Batlai to Eskalad and when to say we go by your task? That's a very difficult question. I'm not prepared.
Since
to
he's mashed, it becomes also for everyone?
No, for him. Meaning, whoever squeezes the pomegranates, for them it's also to squeeze pomegranates. And if for the people who don't squeeze pomegranates, it's mutter to squeeze pomegranates. But that doesn't really help.
How does that work?
Right? Uh-huh. It's like in MTA where Cohen yells on Sunday about the guys who don't come on Sunday. So, okay.
Those that don't squeeze orange juice like us,
because
we always buy it
in
the store, then
we're
able to just squeeze orange juice.
No, because we're still machshiv it. We just pay other people to squeeze it for us. Still machshiv it. Okay. And it doesn't matter. When we're squeezing at that moment, we're machshiv it. So the question then becomes... Who just asked the question that Rashi asked? I forget who it was 5 minutes ago. Right, Rafi? So the if you say our maskana is, if you say what's the maskana? If you say this is the maskana is we're not docha. We really think the maskana, the sugya, it's sort of funny. There's no resolution to the sugya because we try to answer based on Rav Elazar, doesn't work. We try to answer based on Rav Chista, and Rav Papa says that Rav Chista didn't necessarily need it. So we don't actually know what the answer is in the sugya. It's like an unresolved sugya. But if you assume, no, the answer to the sugya is that Rav Chista did mean it. Came in Dach Shavino Havelin Nashkin. Then you come out with a big chumrah because then Rafi asked us. So if I squeeze Shire payrolls, it's also also because came in Dach Shavino Havelin Nashkin. Even if I'm an idiot and I like watermelon juice and I squeeze watermelons, I'm mashkin. It's mashkin. It should be usher for me to squeeze watermelon. And Rashi says, and Tosfos agrees with him. Then you get to the sheet of Rashi and Tosfos, who says, Enochanami, even Shar Peros are Asurim. You're right, Shar Peros are also Asur, not only pomegranates. And then Rashi is stuck with the question, if Shar Peros are Asurim, then what's the point of the pomegranates? So then Rashi asks me, it might be a little tachlit, but right, the Bach and the Taz Paskin this way. Right? So what's the special gichas of pomegranates? Why are there three categories of sharp ears or sugar? Meaning anything I squeeze is automatically usher. So why is the three categories anymore? There's only two categories, the rice and drabon, but everything's usher squeeze. So the nafkamina is sharp ears are usher limashkin, but mutter limatek. What is limatek? Sometimes I just want to squeeze some water out of my watermelon to sweeten my watermelon. Right? I squeeze out some watery liquid from a fruit to improve the fruit. Not because I'm not sure of the liquid. The liquid maybe goes down the drain or whatever. I'm not sure of the liquid. I'm squeezing it to improve the fruit. Not, again, I don't think that's a common thing. Maybe in their days it was more common. You could squeeze a fruit to improve the fruit, not to be machshav the mashkin. While tutin v'rimonim are usser, even lamatek. Zera atu lamashkin. That's what Rashi ends up saying in this big Rashi. So Rashi and Tosfos get through it that they see the maskana of the sugya is kim dachshavinu havelu mashke. So really, whatever you subjectively decide to squeeze is automatically a mashkin, is automatically osir. So all peros are osir to squeeze. Then what's the difference between two to remote and sharp peros? The difference is all peros. It's at least mutter to squeeze lamatic, but two to bring money make exer. Don't even squeeze a pomegranate to improve the pomegranate, because next time you'll squeeze it to get juice. And obviously, it's zero to zero, because the only reason also to squeeze pomegranates for juice is because you might come to squeeze grapes and olives. It's okay. What can I tell you? Oh, sorry, I apologize. Okay, so the reason why it's not Xera and Xera is because Rashi seems to assume here that, I guess, the Gemara here is disagreeing with
Rashi's Lashita say, that Rechayu.
Except not Rechayu, only based on Rashi did it, but you have to say, and the truth is the Afronim deal with this, that Rashi is a little bit so-so himself, you have to say that Rashi, at least on Kufim Dalam and Beis, held there's an Estorais and Rimonim also. It's a good har. Okay, someone has a long essay about this. Yeah, the Lama Tess Malacha book has like 2 pages about, you know, what to do with these Rashis.
Maybe it's too bad we don't hold like the Prima Gadda.
About this Rashi doesn't hold like the Prima Gadda,
right?
Yeah. But it doesn't matter, we'll see, you know. Hold like this, we can end it. So that's the way of Rashi and Tosfos. Now, the problem becomes this. What's the problem? The problem is if we read the Shulchan Aruch, what does the Shulchan Aruch say? I feel like you own the lachila. It's also to squeeze zeis v'anavim, and if the juice came out by itself, then it's also to eat it, whether you plan to drink or eat the grapes and olives. The two to rimonim also l'sachtan v'yotzmi atzman om lachila motzmi om lashkin aser. Two to rimonim is also to squeeze. Sharkel peiros motzmi l'sachtan, and all the peiros are motzmi to squeeze. So Shonov says all of the peiros are motzmi to squeeze, unlike what Rashi and Tosfos seem to say is going on in the sugya here. And there's not the Machaber making it up. The Beis Yosef brought down the Machaber and explicitly said Rashi and Tosfos are a minority view who we don't hold like. And we don't even know if Rashi and Tosfos held that way because they were just interpreting one line in the Sugya. How do you know what the Maskana of the Sugya is? Maybe they were just saying, you know. But the Rif, the Rush, the Rambam, and the Smag, the Beis Yosef quotes, and you can add to this a lot of the Rishonim on the Daf, the Rashba, and the Ritva. Most Rishonim, Rogue Rishonim say Shar Peiros are mutter to squeeze. And then the problem becomes, why do most Rishonim say Shar Peiros are mutter to squeeze? Kevidach Shevinu Havalu Mashka seems to be the only valid option for explaining the idea of Beis Menashe. Right? I mean, I only have one explanation for Beis Menashe, which is Kevin Dachshavin or Havalu Mashkin. You're right, it's not necessarily such a good explanation, because the Gemara says it might not be true. It's the only explanation we got. So if that's the only explanation we got, then anything your Mashkin is Usher, so it should be Usher to squeeze all Peros. And then you have to figure out what's special Atutim Rimonim, so be Nidchai like Rashi and Tosos. So how come all the Rishonim don't say that? So this is the Machlokes between the Taz and everyone else. The Taz says, I think it's a little Dachuk, but the Taz says all the Rishonim really agree to Rashi and Tosfos. Everyone agrees to Rashi and Tosfos that Shar Peiros are usher to be sochet. They all say straight, flat out, black and white, Shar Peiros mutter l'sachtam. They mean the matik. So why didn't they say it's only mutter l'sachtam l'matik? I can think, no, anyone who speaks Shar Peiros is probably doing it lamatik. Stam is lamatik. Most people, anyone who squeezes Stam Peiros is probably doing it lamatik. So they just said Shar Peiros are much to squeeze because we know everyone who squeezes Shar Peiros is doing it lamatik. I mean, why didn't they at least bother to warn us that if we do it lamatik, it's usher? All right, they didn't bother to warn us. So the Taz tries to say everyone agrees with Rashi and Tosfos and the Lashon of Shar Peiros Mutter l'sachtan means l'matkan. Because stam is l'matkan. Anyone who squeezes Shar Peiros is 99% of the time doing it l'matkan. Even if he doesn't know why he's doing it l'matkan. Anyone who stam squeezes watermelons is doing it to improve the watermelon, not to improve the juice. And that's a very, very dachuk way of reading all the Rishonim. The Taz is all the Rishonim agree with Rashi and Tosfos. Therefore, the Taz paskins lahalacha that it's usher to squeeze all peiros if you're doing it to get juice. So it's usher to squeeze any pre for juice. The only heter shar peiros is lamatik. That's the Taz. The Bach says the same thing in the end. However, that seems to be a very dachuk way to read Rav Rishonim. Rogue Rishonim seem to be saying it's just mutter to squeeze Shar Peiros stam and usher to squeeze Tutim V'Rimonim. Let's say for now stam for the sake of simplicity. So, what's shot in the Rogue Rishonim? So there are two other ways which the Rishonim Achronim explain you could read the Maskan of the Sugya. The Beis Yosef reads Maskan of the Sugya in a way which, okay, maybe you could say a little dachuk. The Beis Yosef says, really, there's a virtual other step in the sugya, which you have to say. The sugya never ended up giving you the right explanation for Beis Menashe, but the sugya, since it left it unresolved, it must be the Amoraim knew the right explanation for Beis Menashe. What's the right explanation for Beis Menashe? According to the Beis Yosef. So the Beis Yosef says, Beis Menashe lav davka. Doesn't mean Beis Menashe squeeze pomegranates. There are just examples of some trendsetters. Beis Menashe were some pop stars, and when they squeeze pomegranates, everyone started, not everyone, but many, many people started squeezing pomegranates. Maybe not 51% of all people, but enough that it became a makobol thing to do in society. So, I mean, in the Havni, the Gemara, they thought Beis Menashe was just a small minority. So in the end, the Gemara really knew, even though they didn't say so, that Beis Menashe was not a small minority. Beis Menashe was just an example of a large number of people. One out of every four people in the whole world was squeezing pomegranates. Okay, then already it's what the Rabbim do, and now we understand the Gemara. Tutan Rimon, in which many, many people in the world squeeze, has Hashivas Mashka, so it's Usher. Shar Peiros, which no one squeezes, don't have Hashivas Mashka and are Mutter. That's the way the Beis Yosef reads the Maskana, in which case, only tutin v'rimonim are aser. That's the way the Beis Yosef reads it. The Magen Avraham reads it a little differently. The Gra, you have to mind the Gra. Was anyone minding the Gra here? It's a little unclear what he's saying in the end. I think he's going along the same lines in the beginning. Maybe he wants to say entire countries did like Beis Menashe. It's a little unclear what in the end he wants to say. There was an entire country that did like Beis Menashe, or maybe the whole world did like Beis Menashe. He's, in his first part of the Malach, he's going in the same general direction. Then he quotes from the Rishonim, say like Magen Avraham, Magen Avraham, the Rishonim, say a third way of understanding the Maskana of the Sugya. Let's just review. One way of understanding the Maskana is that Kevin Dachshavinu Havaluhu Mashke, in which case it's also squeeze anything, which is what Rashi and Tosa says, and the Taz is Nidchak to say all Rishonim say. The second way of understanding the Maskana of the Sugya is to say, no, there's a Maskana which isn't written in Shas, but it's obvious the Maskana is that it wasn't really just Beis Menashe, it was lots of people. And that's why it's only us who squeeze Tutum Rimonim, because lots of people squeeze them. And it's Mother to squeeze Sharpiris, which lots of people don't squeeze. The Magen Avraham says another way, which is really the Ramban, the Rashba, and the Ritva, and the Gra points this out, that all the Beit Midrash and Rambans had this approach. And they say the Maskana is really like this Pshat of Rav Chisda, but you have to understand it in a slightly deeper level. This is the Magen Avraham and the Ramban, etc., the Rashba, the Ritva. They say, really, Rav Chisda meant Kevin Dachshavinu Havaluhu Mashkin. But he didn't mean only Kevin Dachshavinu, you, yourself, as one crazy person are Mashkin. What he meant is, if you are Mashkin plus some minority people, not what? But a minority of people. There are a myriad of people who do this besides you. Meaning, if you are machshiv this liquid by squeezing it, and you're not a crazy yachid, there are other yachidim who squeeze this. So there's strength in numbers. I machshiv it, and I'm not the only one, some other people are also machshiv it. So that's what the Gemara meant to attribute to Rav Chisda. That's the maskana of the Sogya. The maskana is Kevin Achshavinu Havalu Mashke, but there's one condition. It's only a valid Achshavinu if you at least have Yechidim to support you, if you at least have some strength in numbers. That's what the Magen Avraham says, that's what the Ramban Rashba and Ritva say, I mean, the Priv Gadim points it out here. Avala Rashba Kosav, if you're a mamshi yachid, then you'll say kim dachshavinu havalu mashke. But if you're a yachid and you have some more yachidim, even though you're only yachidim, nonetheless, a few yachidim, me plus one, plus the family of Menashe, or the house, the court of Menashe, that's already enough. That's chashivas which gives it mashke, and that makes a lot of sense. Why? Only tutim v'rimonim are aser. Because only things which I squeeze, and at least some other minority of people squeeze. Me plus a few other yachidim squeeze. But if I were to squeeze watermelons, which I'm a yachid and there's no one else who backs me up, then I'm crazy. But that's not a chashivas. That's the way they read the Maskana of the Sugya, and L'chor, Lani Yisdaiti, that makes the most sense to read Maskana of the Sugya, as opposed to being Nidchak in Tarashi and Tosos. I mean, again, not to be Machas Roshim and Harim Yadolim, but given that, if we don't want to say all the Rishonim agree with Rashi and Tosos, we want to say the Rishonim are really Mater, sharp hairs, and only after to remote in, instead of, as Magen Avraham says, little Dachik start making up facts that Beis Menashe was many, many people, and they were lobbed after. Seems simple to just say Kevin Achshavinu means Achshavinu, and you have a few people on your side. So those are the three ways of reading the Maskana of the Sugya.
Are we understanding Tutum Rimonim Davka?
Ah, so what does Tutum Rimonim mean? So, there are, there are some Rishonim and Achronim here and there which might sort of give a hint that perhaps you could understand Tutum Rimonim as Davka. One of the Chaverim here will argue vociferously that that's a real possibility that has to be taken very seriously, at least in Yun. Lenina Sotya. Ravadi talks about this, like, well, what were they thinking, these Gedolim in Egypt who used to make orange juice on Shabbos? Like, didn't they think oranges were at least as bad as Tutim Rimonim? So, I guess there were some people who said Tutim Rimonim are not, the Chazal goes in Tutim Rimonim, anything that's not a Tut or a Rimon, whatever a Tut is, I don't think it's a strawberry. People say mulberry, I don't know what a mulberry is. But you have to go around it. The simple common sense shot is, even though it seems to be there was a differing opinion, but I think it's sort of obvious from any common sense perspective. Tutim Rimonim are lav davka. We have a shot in the sugi that tells us what's unique about Tutim Rimonim. Unless you want to say no, because that goes on Tutim Rimonim. Once they need Xera, they have Xera, and don't start applying it in your own time and place. I'll be passionate. No, Tutim Rimonim is an example. Meaning, you have to divide all fruits into three categories. Zeisim Anavim are also daraisa to squeeze. Fruits with some people squeeze in society, not just one crazy person, but there are a few people who squeeze. Those are Tutim Rimonim or also Rabbanan. And fruits with which no one squeezes in your society, well, we'll have to see whether you're a society or not, are Heter Gomer. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says in Sifkot and Tess here. He brings down for the Be'er Halacha also that apples, he says it's usher to squeeze apples, even though they're not Tutim or Rimonim, because some people make apple juice. And,
Did he have the Ozerur?
Lachor, he didn't look up this one. So the Ozerur seems to be matzah squeezing apples. A little unclear why. And again, there were Gedolim in Egypt. I mean, real Gedolim. You know, there's authentic Gedolim who Rav Avadia has eidos. Rav Avadia doesn't agree that they squeezed oranges on Shabbos. So there were these people who seemed to take to the Runa Dafka, but that's not the mainstream 99% of poskim, and that's not the common sense. Common sense is lav davka, that's what Mishnah Berurah says, in which case the result you would get, we'll have to fine-tune it, is that bizman hazeh, almost everything is a tot and a rimon. Right? Bizman hazeh, I mean, they make these ridiculous juices out of everything. And you go to the store, right, you can buy peach juice, you can buy prune juice, you could buy kiwi, strawberry, banana, something. You could buy, you could buy lemon juice, but that's more complicated because you don't drink lemon juice. But they seem to make juices out of a lot of strange things nowadays. Not strange. I mean, they're probably very good. It's just our meaning nowadays that we make juices out of a wide variety of fruits and vegetables, for that matter. So it could be that in their days, most fruits were sharp papers. Tutim Rimonim are minority. In our days, it could just work out that Tutim Rimonim are the majority. Most fruits are Tutim Rimonim. You know, if you go to a supermarket, you can find many, many different juices. The minority of fruits are Sharpeiros. Watermelons are still Sharpeiros. No one makes watermelon juice, to the best of my knowledge. And even if one person did, we'd paskin it Stonewater, because he needs at least some yechidim to back him up in order to be machshev it as a mashkin. But I think in our days, most fruits are Tutim Rimonim, and only some fruits are sharp pickles, unlike the days of Chazal.
First of all, I went to a wedding and they were actually serving watermelon juice.
Ooh.
Just messed the
all the stores had it all, so I
Oh, really?
Yeah, I drink it all the time. It's great. That could be a crazy young
person. I apologize. I think I called you stupid. I didn't mean to.
Idiot was the word.
Really? They really sell watermelon juice? What did it taste like?
They must put in sugar.
I think it might. You might have to mind a little whether is it really watermelon juice?
It was a watermelon that was pureed. There were chunks of smooth white. It was like a smooth pureed white.
I guess if you puree one.
Yeah, so it's not. That's the funny thing. It's not clear to me whether puree is the same. Is a pureed watermelon the same as watermelon juice? If I squeeze out juice, that's not going to have any relation to when they puree watermelons. So I'm not sure that makes a difference. That pureed watermelon, that's not the juice you would get if you squeeze it out. If you squeeze it out, you would get a completely unrelated juice, which would probably taste very bad. So I think it still is better to squeeze watermelons, because the watermelon juice isn't actual watermelon juice, it's pureed watermelons, which is a different fact.
Second thing is that, once we already know that Zeisim Anavim is not done, because it's possible to improve weather, so why is it crazy to then say that Tutim Rimonim are also dafka?
Because that was the point.
Well, because the Prima Gadim had to have a svar by Zeisim Rimonim are dafka from the halachos of Tum of the Tower.
Once we know that's true.
But there's no svar by Tutim Rimonim are dafka. Again, you know, look, I mean, I admit that there are Gedolim who thought otherwise, but that's not mainstream. And to me, it doesn't make common sense. Okay, everyone can have their own idea of common sense.
Then there be an avenue between the Beis Yosef and the other Rishonim that according to the Beis Yosef you need more people?
A Vada does not mean according to the Beis Yosef. Let's say there were only 1% of society squeezed a certain fruit. Then the Beis Yosef would say it's mutter to squeeze it, and the Magen Avraham and the those Rishonim would say it's also to squeeze it.
Right.
And I think we should hold like the Mishabur and the other Achronim like this Shita. So as long as there's some Yechidim who squeeze it and you squeeze it, it's Asr, even though there are not a lot of Yechidim. So we hold like the more Machir Shita compared to the Beis Yosef at least. So that's the Pesach and Mishabur, even though again Rashi and Tosos might, again Rashi and Tosos are commenting on the Pirush HaSukkah, they're not Pasuk. We don't know whether they pass in or they're just interpreting one line of the Gemara.
Tosfos says it, because the on Yud Tes of the Beis Yosef, or the footnote points out. He also says that.
Okay. So the Bach and the Taz, again, hold like this more Machmer Shita, but we don't. We all like the Makel Shita, Machor like the formulation of the Magen Avraham. So in our society, again, you have to check out whether it's a real juice. That's why I wonder about some of these things also they sell in stores. You know, just because they sell like kiwi something, whatever. I don't know if that actually means that people drink kiwi juice or it's just, you know, has some part of kiwi pureed in.
It's
what?
They do
kiwi.
But they do carrots also. They'll put anything you want.
But don't they squash it?
Right, they don't squeeze the carrots, but they might.
Great.
Right, but the other things, they might actually juice. Like, you know, put an. Anyway, whatever, so you have to look in your society.
You mentioned lemon juice. Peas would be another example. So if there's something that you would make a juice out of, but you wouldn't drink the juice by itself.
That's a whole sif. That's exactly sif bav. That's machlokes between the machaber and the mishabura and sif bav. Yeah, so we'll see that. That's why lemon juice is complicated. And that might also be true of some of these other, like they might be juices that you only include
because
with other juices but don't drink. What?
Like somebody mentioned peas.
Peas? Alright, in any case, for sure, it's usher to squeeze oranges, it's usher to squeeze grapefruits, it's usher to squeeze lemons, but it might be mutter for a different reason, it's usher to squeeze apples, it's usher to squeeze pears, it's usher to squeeze peaches, it's usher to squeeze plums. You know, all those things that mamish, it's regular juice that people drink all the time.
But if it came out by itself,
then that's usher. And if it came out by itself, if it came out by itself, then it depends. If it was echnis on the ochel of the mamashkin, which we'll get back to in a second.
For the most part, you have in your house.
Yeah,
like
for all of us. Yeah. What?
I've never seen anyone make apple juice, but I can't imagine you can squeeze the apple.
You probably have to use a machine.
You squeeze the apple. I think you do.
No, with your hand.
You can't just.
You squeeze it really hard. I don't know.
No, do they like heat it up first?
Not
sure.
That's an interesting question. I'm not sure. The you know, someday when you get us internet, we'll do some research. meanwhile, I'm putter from Metzias until you work that out. So, getting back to the subject. So now there's only two questions that we have to figure out. Now that we've decided our psak, that if some yechid, that if no one squeezed it, it's mutter to squeeze, like watermelon, because no one squeezed it. The watermelon juice is made for pureeing. If some people squeeze it, even a minority, then it's also to squeeze, because then achshavinu habli mashkin, since at least you have some people on your side. Now the question becomes two other questions that are dealt with by the Ramah and the Magen Avraham. If you look at the Ramah here, that if there is a place where the minig is to squeeze certain fruits for the sake of thirst or pleasure, then that has a din of tutim rimonim, right? The Ramah is certainly mafurish. That's why it was only in Egypt that you had some gedolim who had this strange sheet that they squeeze arms and center and start to ruin as davka, because they didn't follow the Ramah. In Ashkenazi countries, you had no achronim, no matter how strange or eccentric you might have been, who would have squeezed apples or oranges, etc. Because the Ramah at least said in the forest that tutim rimonim are lav davka. Avol nagu liskot lefu levad in lachush. Okay, so the end part of the Ramah is actually very logical. Based on the Yosef and the Rishonim, if the only reason people make some juice is for medicinal purposes, but they don't actually think it tastes good or it's a good drink, then that's not chashivas of mashia. Because again, for medicine, you eat all kinds of strange things that doesn't really give it the chashivas of anything. That makes a lot of sense. The first part of the Ramah seems to make a lot of sense, but it's actually quite controversial. It seems like the most obvious thing in the world. two of them are lopped out, but it's quite controversial because the Rambam makes it sound uven makom, that only in that makom it's usher to squeeze these fruits, but in other makomos it's mutter. The Beis Yosef, who the Rama is drawing off here, right? He says in parentheses Beis Yosef, or whoever wrote them. Beis Yosef seems to say that if in one country they squeeze certain fruits, then in all countries it's usher to squeeze them. So this is the Magen Avraham dealt with this. You know, what if in one country they squeeze them, but only one country? I don't know what they squeeze in only one country. Let's just make something up.
Coconut.
Let's just make something up. In Fiji, they squeeze cantaloupes. But they don't squeeze cantaloupes anywhere else. Again, I'm making that up. So, the Rambam would seem to imply that in Fiji it's usher to squeeze cantaloupes, because it's like tooth and green morning. But not everywhere. Well, the Beis Yosef says, it's everywhere usher to squeeze cantaloupes. So the Magen Avraham here, the Achronim point out, is a little difficult, because he brings out the Chot Beis Yosef and the Ramban says, oh, this Ramban is crazy, but no, I'll defend him. Moshe Emes, Torah said Emes, I'm going to come out and defend the Ramban. If you notice, in the Magen Avraham, he doesn't seem to come out sounding like the Ramban. He seems to come out sounding like the Beis Yosef. Did you notice that?
I barely got to.
Oh, okay. So if you look at the Magen Avraham now, if you look at the Magen Avraham, he says, am I ahead of Seder?
No, you're not.
What?
By now, I think so.
By now, you think so. Okay. So, you know what? Let us... I want you to... I'll do something else now for a second, then. So, I'll let you come back to see this Rama inside, and then we'll finish up this Magen Avraham. Tomorrow, meanwhile, let's just go back to the Mechaber for a moment. Let's forget about the issue of whether it's Mutter to do Shlita, and cover the other thing discussed by the Mechaber, which is, can you drink the juices that come out on their own? Right? Which I think people are more prepared for. Can you drink the juice that come out of their own? That's what we said at the beginning, Perichavis, Daf Kof, Mem Gimel, Amud Beis. One thing the Gemara never says about is, why were Chazal Taka Gozer and Mashkin Shazavu made Peros? If liquids came out of Peros on their own on Shabbos, Chazal Gozer, you're not allowed to drink that. What's the reason for the Gzeira? It's not the mainstream understanding. I think the Gemara says like Rashi. Shema Yavali Beisita. That makes a lot of sense, right? Same way as Peros Shandashru. I can't eat the apples which fall off the tree because I might pick another one. I can't eat the grape juice that oozes out of the grapes. I might squeeze some more grapes. There is a dissenting view. The Ramban says it's rather because of the Isra of Nolad, because it's a new thing created on Shabbos, which is Nolad, which is not necessarily Xera, although then he discusses that. But the Ritva also plays with this possibility, but doesn't say it in the Maskana. But Pashtus is that this is not because of Nolad. We'll come back to this a little when it comes to the Sugya of Risa Shelling. But the mainstream approach that this is not because of Nolad, this is because of a Gzeira that you might come to do Shlita, and therefore we should just analyze this from the perspective of how likely are you to come to do an Isser or not. And here we have a machlokus between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda. And again, this is a little complicated, but the Pashas, we understand, the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda, they're arguing about how likely you are to come to do an Aveira. So everyone agrees that Mashkin Shazavu or Usur, if you intended to make juice. Because if you intended, meaning you bought or harvested these fruits for juice. If you intended to make, only Din Lamashkin, if they all made Lamashkin, and the juice comes out, then it's very likely that you'll come to squeeze more juice because you wanted the juice. What if it's only Lamashkin? What if you intended to eat them? You really didn't want the juice at all. So then, maybe you're not going to come to squeeze more juice because that wasn't really your plan anyway. Just an accident that some juice came out. So that's Machlokes Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda. So there's a big Machlokes Amoraim here. Does Rabbi Yehuda ever admit to the Chachamim? Does Rabbi Yehuda not admit to the Chachamim? Who do we paskin like? The end is we paskin like Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan, that the Halach is like Rabbi Yehuda. But there are three categories. Rabbi Yehuda admits to the Chachamim in Zeis Vanavim. The Chachamim admit to Rabbi Yehuda in Shar Peros. And they argue about Tutim Rimonim. So what does that mean, Lamaskana? If here we have Omdim Lamashkin, and here we have Omdim Leochlin, in Zeisim Vandavim, Everyone admits that it's always usher. Even Rabbi Yehuda admits that any juice of condensation that is usher. Why? Because even if you, again, taking from the perspective of Gzeira, even if you didn't intend to make juice out of these zeis amount of more oil, still, it's so common that you'll end up, regardless of what your plan is, these are so, it's so common to make grape to wine and oil that you'll come to squeeze them and make wine and oil. When it comes to two divrei monim, which for us includes many fruits, if it's under the mashmin, it's asur, because you'll for sure come to squeeze it. You'll drink a little juice, you want more. If it's under the ochlen, that's the machlokas tanoim. And we paskin that it's much like Rabbi Yehuda. Right? The Chachamim say, no, we're always worried you might squeeze these oranges or grapefruits or pomegranates or mulberries some more. And we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, no, if you never plan to drink juice, then we're not worried you'll come to squeeze them. And when it comes to shar pirus, the Gemara's lashon is a little misleading, right? They say, the Chachamim agreed to Rabbi Yehuda. It's not the Chachamim agreed to Rabbi Yehuda that it's matter on the ochlen, it's that it's had to gummer to squeeze them even the chachila. According to the passing against the Tazimba. So, I'll just put check with an asterisk, meaning not only can you drink the juice that came out of Shar Peiros, you could even squeeze them in the first place. So obviously you can drink the juice, there's no need for Gzeira at all. That's fairly pashut, that's what's going on in the, that's what's going on in the Mechaber at the beginning here. Yeah?
Yeah, how does it fit the Ramban, right?
Ah, okay, so if you take a Nolad perspective, then the difference is, again, this is a whole different mahalach in the sugya. Then what's going on, that's very nice one, is that if it's Om Dimu Mashkin, that it was an Ochel, and a Mashkin came out that's Nolad, you have a Mashkin which didn't exist. If it's only the Ochlin, that even though the Mashkin came out, since it came out Bal Chaloba Rotzon, it never gets Hashivas Mashkin, it's just considered an inferior form of the Ochel. And therefore, it's just uchlat de'ifras, it's not a new creation, and it's not nolad. So it's an entirely different way of reading the whole shakalataria here, is based on formal halachic status and nolad. But that's, you know, that which the Ramban at least suggests as one of its sudden is what's going on. It's all a matter of formal halachic status, and omdim la'ochlin takes away the chashivas mashka, and a different halachic status. But that's not the mainstream way of reading, it's just human psychology, how likely we are to come to squeeze it. The Ritva actually suggests that the goof of the sugya might be arguing about whether it's a gzeira or whether it's a gzeira or nolad, that might actually be the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, that Rabbi Yehuda, you know, sees it as a gzeira, so he says it cares what it was only for, and the Chachamim see it as nolad, so they don't care, depending on whether you hold Rabbi Yehuda as moda or not. Okay, that's ayin sham, but we'll come back to it a little in some number of weeks. One of the Yom Tov let us, but I'm sure for now. Okay, I think that that I'm caught up to where everyone's holding now, unless anyone has any other questions. The maybe we'll start. Maybe we'll start. We'll try to okay. We'll end here. Just a brief aura on the parsha. Let's see if I can go in the parsha till 7.
I have time to do this.
What?
You never have so much time.
I never have time, because it's such a short parsha. And now I want you to say, there's an interesting shot, by the way, Agav. First let me tell you the part, then we can just continue saying the parsha. It is the drush, not shot in the parsha at all, but it's a very, very beautiful drush from Moshe Feinstein. She says in the Drash Moshe, but also Moshe Tasse, in the very famous thing he writes in the Igros Moshe, that it says at the end of the parsha, Uvacharta b'chayim l'man tichyeh ata v'zarecha. So what's l'man tichyeh ata v'zarecha? How does this necessarily help your children? The whole thing is, no, you have b'chir chashis, right? So you have your b'chir chashis, they have their b'chir chashis. What's the Torah emphasizing? L'man tichyeh ata v'zarecha. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says this. He says, what's the context of what's going on here? And I might be embellishing it a little. He says, what's the ha-chayim ha-mosnat lecha bracha v'akolo, v'achar t'v'chayim. You should choose life. So what's the bechira? Hashem's telling you, look, you have the bechira too, right? The famous part of the Bali Musar, re'eh anochi nosem l'chama yom bracha u'kola es ha-bracha asher tishmu'un. Why doesn't it say es ha-bracha im tishmu'un? Because the bracha is not just something you get im tishmon. The bracha is asher tishmon, living a life of Torah, right? Living a life, but the beauty of Torah, meaning wherever there's meaning in everything in life, unlike most people in the world who walk around. Most of their lives is meaningless, and then every once in a while they can volunteer for the Red Cross and find meaning in their lives. But the whole point of the Kol Torah Kula is that every moment of your life should be meaningful. That's why Meir Brach is called Yom V'chuli V'chuli. You know, the connection to Hashem and spirituality, not to mention all the other beauties of the family and society, of the Torah society, living that kind of lifestyle is in and of itself a bracha. And what Moshe says is, how do you have to choose? You have to choose this, the life. You have to choose, recognize that Torah living is the real way to live, is a real life, and that's what will cause l'man tichyat tavzarecha. Because he says, this is the Igros Moshe, says, you know what the problem is in our society nowadays? You know why kids are going off the derech? I mean, he was talking about a long time ago when all the kids went off the derech. says, Devon says, it's shver to be a yid. Right, it's hard, it's so hard to be a yid. When we all make the sacrifices with the Mesiras Nefesh. But you say, oh, it's hard to be a Jew, but I'll do it. I'll make the Mesiras Nefesh. He says, that's great for you. You get tremendous chayar for the Mesiras Nefesh. What do your kids learn? They learn that it's hard to be a Jew, but Abba's a sucker. Okay, so he will do the hard thing to be a Jew, but I don't want to grow up and have a hard life. I want to grow up and have a good life, have an easy life. So the kids go off the derech and abandon the way of the father. So Rav Moshe finds it says, maybe some of the Musar here is, don't just say it's my, you know, like Kant would have you believe. It's my duty, this is the right thing to do, it's my responsibility, I'm going to do it even though it's really, really tough. That won't pass on to your children, but you got to do Torah, but Simcha. You got to realize how beautiful and how much it enriches your life, and that way you'll be able to pass it down and excite your kids about it and show them the Simcha of Torah, and Mantikya Torah Zarech, you'll be able to pass it down through the generations. So that's Ha'ar on the Parsha. There's a very interesting, just in terms of Pshat in the Parsha, in the beginning, you have this whole really, really strange. There's a lot of strange things about the beginning of the Parsha. Right, one of the strangest things is that, what does it say? So I would have, if I were writing the Bible, I would have finished. And it will be, if there's a guy who's Machshav Zavod Zara, and he hears all this Tochacha, he'll change his mind. And I'll toe the line. And I'll give his own brothers. I'll be fine if I go and decide my own eyes, if I make my own decisions, if I do what I want and ignore the Torah, I'll be fine. So what's exactly why the guy of a Hadmina that he'll be that he'll be fine? So there are many different shatim in this. I think the Ramban deals with it and suggests that it might be talking about someone who says, I hear there's an Aliyah from Makabalit, La'avricha. So, a guy that saves a river, I'm going to choose not to be Makabalit, and therefore I'll be Pato Lagamre. And therefore the Torah is telling you, no, you have no right to be Pato Lagamre, you have to be Makabalit against your will. The Ibn Ezra suggests that maybe a guy will say, look, I read Parshas Ki Tzavo. It's very nationally oriented. Right? If the Jews do this, the kings and the wars and the famine and the siege, etc. It's very nationally oriented. So therefore, if everyone else is from, I can do whatever I want. They'll be okay. Hashem will punish us. Right? Everyone else is from. That's good enough. So the Akedas Yitzhak takes this approach. He says maybe that shot is a very hard reklaman sposar vas hatzmeya in order to add the rava to the tzmeya. What's found to add the rubber to the tzmeya? This is a very beautiful shot. Rashi says, which Unklos already says, something which is a very nice idea, but not clear how shot. He said, rubber means full satiated, like drunk. Tzmeya means thirsty, like sober. Means you add the drunk to the sober. Drunk people do things b'shogeg, sober people do things b'mezid. What it means, if you go after your own eyes and you go off the derech, Hashem will add the punishment for shogeg and punish you in addition to mezid. Yeah, it's bringing a lot of these words about Sposa Rasatzmeya that you should know, be warned, Hashem will add on the punishment for all your shogegs if there were mazids once you go off the derech. Which makes sense, because if you go off the derech, you're saying, I would have done them the mazid. So now you deserve an olish. The Ramban suggests that Sposa Rasatzmeya, also an interesting musser, he says, what does Rava mean? Satisfied. Tzmeya means thirsty. It means Rava means you're satisfied, you don't have a taiva. You fulfilled your taiva. Tzmeya means you have a taiva. The Ramban said it's a musr. What if someone say, I have this taiva, I have this one big taiva, I'll just give into this one taiva, and then I'll be okay, I give into my one taiva. The Ramban says, right? Chazal says, Eiver Katan Yesh Gufa Shel Adam must be a Roy Marivel Seveya. The Ramban assumes that Eiver Katan, but it's also the rest of the body also works that way to a certain extent. That, no, you start off, you say, I'm going to follow my tiger for one thing. I only have a tiger to do this. I'll do this, then I'll be okay. But once you get used to following your tigers, ignoring the Torah, so not only that Semeya, you'll be supposed to add on a Moseth, right? The rubber, things that you're satisfied with. I have enough money, I don't need more money. Right? I have enough food, I don't need more food. I just have a taiva for, I don't know, for the Isurigia. Alright? I just have a taiva for Basa B'chol. I just have a taiva for one thing that I need. So you'll start with that Patsmeya, the thing you're really thirsting taiva for. You'll add on the rubber once you start chasing up your taiva just build up, and you satisfy one taiva, you're used to that, and you have a new taiva. Then you get used to that, and you have a new taiva. The taivas just build themselves, and the things which were rubbed, which you were satisfied, didn't even feel the taiva for, you'll start feeling the taiva once you start chasing your taiva. So don't think you can just chase one taiva, it'll build on itself. The Kedisiyasim has a different shot, which he wants to say. He says, rub and smay in a very interesting sense. He says, a smay is a field that's not watered. A rub is a field that's watered, satiated with water. He says, what happens if I have a field that's not watered? And you have a field and you turn your hose on 24/7 and water your field. So what's going to happen? Your field will grow crops. My field will grow crops because everyone knows the water will flow to the next field also. Suppose our sets man. So what do I say? It says, I say this, shalom yali keep a shrewd say, I'll be okay if I follow my own derech. Lamont suppose our sets man because everyone else will have water in their field. Everyone else will keep the Torah and Hashem will give them a brach on the national level. So that problem will rub off on me also. After all, if Hashem makes it rain on their field, how's it not going to rain on my field? If Hashem makes peace in their country, I live in the same country, I'm going to have peace also, right? Whatever Hashem gives the Klal Yisrael, their rainwater will wash up onto my field. And that's what the Torah has to say. No, ki az yashan af Hashem v'kinasoba ishahu v'rub tzobok l'alak z'vab v'say farzeh v'cha Hashem v'shemol taks l'ashamayim. And it says in the portion, v'dilo Hashem l'ra'ah mikol shivtei Yisrael kol z'vab v'say farzeh v'dilo Hashem l'ra'ah. You think you'll be okay, one of the pshatim. Because the cloud is okay. If the cloud is good, I can cheat a little, as long as everyone else is from. No, but Dila Shem Lara, everyone else will get their bracha, but you'll be mogdol mikol shivtei Yisrael. Kol sapris haksuv b'sefer Torah zeh. So that's a few different shots on what's going on at the beginning of the parsha. Of course, the next part is very difficult, as Rashi points out. If we're talking the whole point is about Yechida being punished and mogdol mikol shivtei Yisrael, why does then it sound like the whole cloud Yisrael was punished, right? For Uus Makas Haaretz Ahivias Hachloeshe Kolashem Baalasher as Uus Brishah Shem Lokeav Osama Shepratim Olti Yom Osama Yatzrayim Mechuli. So that's very difficult. Rashi has his shot, which is Hanisarosel Hashem Lokeinu Meglosel Lebaneinu. That Dafka the Torah means to be confusing. It starts out with saying Hashem will only punish a Yochid for his Yichidus Chait. Then says Hashem punished a Rabin Kol Yisrael Reivim Zelaseh. That everyone is responsible for one another. And therefore, the Rabban get punished for the chid of the yachid. And that's why it says, "Hanasaros l'shem l'keinu." It's not our fault if he does it the seiser. Only if he does it begoloi, then it's our fault if we don't give musar and we let people do this thing. That's Rashi's pshat. A very nice pshat. Something maybe think about on Shabbos. You know, look, what other pshatim can you say to explain this very strange break in the parsha where it starts out talking about davka v'dilo Hashem l'ra'ah, a holy punishing yachidim, and it ends up steaming to talk about the whole nation. Are there any other pshatim? In any case, it's Tosfos deals with, right? Why, in years like this, we have two Shabbosim after Rosh Hashanah, right? There's always a Shabbos in the Seiros Mitzvah, because there's exactly 7 days in between. There's also Shabbos for Sukkot. So how come we split Nitzavim Bayelech and don't split Matzos Maaseh? Truth is, this year, we did split Matzos Maaseh, but in most years, because it was a leap year, but in a non-leap year, we read Matzos Maaseh together. Rabbis have a total of 280-something psukim, and split it in some bayelach, which average 35 each. So it seems unfair to the Balkor, right? So Tosfos has al bachlok, see him, Rav Nissim going there, has something to do with the klolos, right? Maybe because the Nitzavim is the end of the klolos, so you want to have all the klolos before Shana, for tich l'shana v'kiloseh, and all the klolos. Or it'll suggest maybe, no, Nitzavim Davka doesn't have so many klolos. So you want to have Nitzavim before Shana, so you won't have klolos right before Rosh Hashanah, you know? I thought you could say, I'm sure a lot of people talk about this, that different, there's so much mussar in Parshat Nitzavim, after all, has the Parshat Tshuva, v'shachtar Hashem l'kech v'shamat v'kolo, and Ezra Ramban reads, ki ha-mitzvah zos shon achim tzavcha yom lo mifle shim v'chav lo rechaka, he is talking about Tshuva. Daf before Hashana, forget about what was in Kisavu, what was in Kisavu. You want to read the Parshat that says Tshuva, you think Tshuva is very hard, come to Hashana, lo mifle shim v'chav lo rechaka, it's very easy to do Tshuva, fichol v'chav l'asosa, give an inspiring message. that we really can do tshuva if we just want to, and what better way is there to come into Rosh Hashanah, Shabbat Shalom. The next year will not be Sunday. I guess it won't be Thursday either. So the next year will be to be announced.
Yep.
Yeah, maybe we'll like squeeze in two small shiurim before you get there. Well, to be announced.
What?
No, I don't think we should have a shiur like the very end of the finest.